word with you. If you would, go with me tonight to 2 Corinthians, where we're going to be at. I'm just so thankful tonight that we can come back and open the Word of God. I'm just so thankful He's in this room tonight. Thankful for the Lord and what He's done in my life. Tonight, the title of the message, and I'm going to kind of speak it in my own terms, and then we'll kind of speak it as a plural, kind of a question: how am I saved? And as we kind of look at the plural, how are we saved? Tonight, you may know that you're saved. You may know that you're a child of God, but I want to go deeper. I want to look at the meaning. I want to look at what it truly means to be born again and who is the person that's in charge of that. So if you'll look with me in 2 Corinthians 5, we'll look at the last verse of the chapter, verse number 21. And we'll look at this scripture, man. This verse is the gospel. And I am just so thankful that the Lord's allowed me to preach it tonight. If you would, I'd ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. And we'll read this one scripture and ask the Lord to bless it. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Lord, I am just so thankful tonight to praise you, thankful tonight to preach. Father, I'm just so overwhelmed at this verse of scripture of who the author and finisher of our faith is, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. Lord, for the next few moments, I just pray that you would show your people exactly what you need them to hear. God, I pray you'd use me as your mouthpiece. I'm just somebody just sharing the Word of God that you've given me. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help us to understand how deep that is and how real that is in our walk with you. Pray you'd bless this time, and it be in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We know that when we ask Jesus into our hearts, He comes in, and from that moment on, we're saved. Nothing can take that away. Nothing can keep me from going to heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He's the one that done it, and I'm thankful for that. And I want to look at this verse and kind of dive deeper into how we're saved by the Lord. I'm so thankful tonight I'm not saved on my own. Amen? So thankful that I'm not the one keeping my salvation. I'm thankful that I'm bought with a price through Jesus Christ and what He did upon the cross. And as we look at this scripture, it shows us, I want to look at three things tonight, how you are saved. So if you'll look with me in this verse, I want to look at the first couple of words in that verse 21. Number one, I'm saved by the man of salvation. Let's look at verse 21. It says, "For he hath made him." That's where I want to stop for just a minute. "For he," being God, "hath made him," Jesus. I'm saved tonight, and you're saved tonight, by the man of salvation. That man being God through Jesus Christ. God made Jesus a man. Came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died upon the cross, rose again from the dead. That gives me and you an opportunity to be saved forever. That's the gospel. It says, "For he hath made him." And I'm so thankful that God used his son. It was personal to the Lord to send his only son to this earth. I'm thankful that it was personal to God himself. I'm saved by the man, Christ Jesus. Read a devotion this week. Adrian Rogers' devotion and what he said in that devotion really stuck out, and I want to read it to you. It says, "I'm not saved by the plan of salvation. I'm saved by the man of salvation." Maybe that'll stick with you. Maybe that'll make sense. Let me dig a little deeper in that. The plan is no good without the man. Amen? Man, I'm so thankful that God lined it up as a plan of salvation, that you must admit you're a sinner, ask Jesus into your heart, and you're set free forever, and you're washed,
in the blood. I'm so thankful tonight, and you ought to be thankful for the plan. But that plan is insufficient without the man. Without Jesus, there is no plan. I'll give you a little worldly example. We as a church are planning on building a life center very soon, Lord willing. And I'm so thankful that God puts plans. We've got a certain blueprint that we've got to buy, that these people look at that blueprint and they put together. But what good is that blueprint without people working? What good is that $9,000, $30,000, $6,000 blueprint that we have to pay for and nobody shows up to work? What good is that? That plan is no good if there's not boots on the ground. Does that make sense? Without the man, there is no plan good enough. And that's what I'm thankful for, that He, being God, hath made Him Jesus. I'm saved by the man of salvation. I'm saved by the Messiah. Messiah, the Savior. I'm so thankful that Jesus is my Messiah. And as we look at that, I'd ask you to turn for a minute to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, in the new first book, first page, first chapter of the New Testament. God made Jesus a man. But God made Jesus the Messiah. Turn with me and look at that. We see in this text, as Joseph is being told what to do, and we see that Joseph was told in this scripture of what was going to happen with Jesus. Verse 21 of Matthew 1. Says this, "And she, being Mary, shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus," which is Savior, "for he shall save his people from their sins." Not only was Jesus just a man, but Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus today is the Messiah. And I'm so thankful for that tonight, because there is no good plan without the man Christ Jesus. Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians. Number one, I'm saved by the man of salvation. Well, I'm saved by Jesus through God. So let's look at number two in verse 21. Not only am I saved by the man of salvation, but I'm saved by the means, M-E-A-N-S. I'm trying to get my southern accent. The means of salvation. If you'll just bear with me for a minute, you know that in the court of law, you have to have certain things to be convicted. Okay, you've got to have, I think they do three top ones. You've got to have motive, means, and opportunity to be committed when you step into that courtroom. That's what they base their decision on. And what that means, and I looked up that definition of means, it's the ability to commit. Jesus had to have the ability to be my Savior. And tonight, Jesus had to have the ability or the means to be your Savior. Let's look back at this verse. Verse 21. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." What is the means? What is the ability that Jesus had? And in this scripture, it tells me the only way He could have saved me is if He knew no sin. To live a perfect, sinless life. How did Jesus have the ability to save me? And that's the question. How am I saved? I'm saved by the means of salvation, the ability that Jesus had. And you see in this text, just like I do, He had to be sinless. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 22. It says, if you want to turn, it says this, "Who did no sin." Let's go back to 21. It says, 1 Peter 2, 21, talking about Jesus being sinless. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps." Verse 22, talking about Christ. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." So the only ability that Jesus had, the only way He could have saved me and you, was to be sinless. Amen? And we know that as the Scripture tells us, He walked on this earth for 33 years, yet without sin. Amen? That's what the Lord did. 33 years, and I feel like, man, in my own walk with the Lord, I forget that. I forget what that really means. 33 years without sin. And the only way He could do that, because He was the Son of God. Because I couldn't do it and you couldn't do it. That's why we need a Savior. I look at that and I think about those 33 years. And I want you to do something with me for a minute. And I want you to take your best 33 years. Some of us ain't 33, but if you're over the age of 33, take your best 33 years and compare it to Jesus. Let me take it a step further. Your best 10 years. My best 10 years. Compare it to what Jesus done. Nothing. No comparison. Take your best 5 years, no comparison. Take your best 1 year and compare it to 33 years of a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And as I look at that, I see that I need that Savior in my life. I see that I couldn't do it, you couldn't do it, nobody could do it. I'm saved by the means of salvation, that ability that Jesus was sinless. When I look at my life and you look at your life, however many years, you see that we fall short. And the only way I can be saved is by Jesus Christ and that His sinless life. He had to be sinless, as that Scripture tells us, but He also had to take that sin. It's one thing to be sinless, and you know that. It's another thing for Him to take it. Amen? That gets personal. That He would take my sins upon His shoulders and die as if He were sin itself. And as we keep looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll just read down a few scriptures in verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. He took my sin to the cross. And I'm so thankful for that. Think about that path that He took up Golgotha's hill. He had to take that crucifix, that beam in the middle, and He had to carry it. And you know in Scripture, He couldn't even carry it all the way. That's how bad they whooped Him. That's how bad they beat Him. They scarred Him. They took that. He took my sin up the hill to the cross. But He had to take my sin to the cross. And then He had to die on that cross. It's one thing to take it up there. It's another thing to die. And He died for me and He died for you. He took my sin on that cross. And I wrote this down. Not only did He take my sin, but Jesus was treated as sin. As sin. So God was in Jesus. And Jesus had all the sin of the world put on Him. And it's as if the Bible tells me, it's as if Jesus were the sin Himself. And He bore that on that tree, suffered, bled, and died on that cross for me. And when I read about that and I think about that old hymn, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Tonight I'm saved by Calvary. I'm saved by the man. I'm saved by the means of salvation, that ability that Jesus had to be sin, and He had to take my sin. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. We'll look at number 3 tonight. I'm saved by the man. I'm saved by the means. And I'm saved, number 3, by the motive. You know, we talked about earlier, in the court of law, you had to have means, motive, opportunity. Okay, we've covered Jesus had the means. He was sinless. He died for me, and I thank God for that. Third thing, as we look in 2 Corinthians 5, I'm saved by the motive of salvation. Let's ask the question, what was Jesus' motive? Why in the world would He want to die for somebody like me? Why in the world would He want to die for somebody like you? And the verse answers that. So look with me back in verse number 21. We'll read it again. It says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that, here it is, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What is the motive? What is the reason that Jesus died for you? It's because He wanted you to be spotless before God. He wanted me that when I stand before Almighty God, I would be spotless. I would be clean. I would be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that He might be my righteousness. As you know, that my righteousness and your righteousness is not enough. As we look to Jesus, I wrote this down, man, it stuck to my heart. God wanted me. Amen? God wanted me. God wanted you to be saved. God wanted me to be saved. If He didn't, He wouldn't have took the motive and went to the cross. He didn't have to. He'd done it anyway. You know why Jesus wants to be your Savior? It's so that you would stand before God righteous. And the only way to do that is through His blood. The only way to do that is if He went to that cross. His motive to send Jesus was that God wanted me. If you'll look with me in 2 Peter chapter 3 tonight. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And this talks about Jesus' motive. I believe Jesus' motive was to please the Father. You know in the Scripture where it tells us that Jesus, we said, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass, but not my will, Thy will be done. So God went, and He knew there was no other way. And so He went and sent Jesus. So Jesus' motive was to please the Father. God's motive was so that I would be made righteous. As we look at this Scripture, we see that God wanted me. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. That's what 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Tonight I look at that Scripture and I can say that God wanted me. God wanted you. God wants us to repent. Come back to Him. Come to Him for the first time, or come back to Him if we're strayed away. And as I look at that statement that God wanted me, I believe the reason that hell is so bad is not because of the fire. It's because of the separation from God. Maybe that makes sense tonight. There's fire on earth. There's flames on earth. And people have been burned. But the worst thing about hell is not having God there. You've never known that, and I've never known that if we're still living. Even when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, God was protecting me to be saved. You believe that? Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I know that provision was on my life when I was lost, and you know that too, or I wouldn't be here. And I'm so thankful for that provision. And I believe tonight that that separation from an Almighty God is the worst thing of hell. People think that, man, hell's going to be a heyday. Man, it's the awfulest thing you could ever imagine. Not because of the fire or the flames, because God's not there. And that's why we ought to go out and tell people that God's not going to be there. I'm so thankful that this Scripture tells me that God wanted me. He's not willing that any should perish. I believe that's why He ain't came back yet. There's still people need to be saved. Still people need to be coming to Jesus. It's my job, it's your job to go. Share that gospel. Share what God... Man, I tell these youth, you may not know all the theology, you may not know all the doctrine, but you cannot let anybody take away what God's done in your life. Man, I don't know all the Bible, and you don't either. But I know what He done in my life. I know how He saved me from a devil's hell. He changed my life. He saved me the day I called upon His name, and I've never been the same. And you've never been the same either. God wanted me, tonight I want to share with you those three things as we look at what 2 Corinthians said. I'm saved, number one, by the man Christ Jesus. Tonight, if you're basing your salvation on a plan, it's not enough. You say, J.D., I've come to the altar. I've gone down here and I've came and I've prayed. But if that prayer didn't have Jesus in it, that wasn't good enough. A lot of people think that. Man, if you come up here, if you pray, you do this or that, you can be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. A plan without the man is not enough. But I'm thankful that the plan with the man is enough. That's how I came. That's how you came. The plan through the man. Number one, I'm saved by the man of salvation. Number two, I'm saved by the means of salvation, that he was a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And tonight I'm saved by the motive. What was God's motive? To make me righteous before God. If we put any other thing that we stand on other than the man, the means, and the motive, the Bible tells me it's not what I should believe. But I'm thankful tonight I can stand before my Savior one day. I can say I'm saved by the man, Jesus. I'm saved by the means that he was sinless. He died upon that cross for me. He rose again from the dead as God raised him. And that motive was because he wanted me to be sinless, spotless before I stand before God. And I'll end with this statement. I'm sure you've heard it before. Charles Spurgeon said it. I can stand before God as Jesus because Jesus stood before God as me. I can stand, man, I can stand. You can be bold about your salvation because it's not on you. It's not on me. But I can stand before God when I pass as the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect, because Jesus stood before God as me when he died and when he rose again. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. As we come and as we worship your name, I'm thankful that you love us. Father, I'm just so thankful tonight that you have spoken. And the words are all about you.